We'd like to turn again to 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy, chapter 1. Over the last few weeks, we have been talking about the Holy Spirit, and Noel has been using that as the subject while he was here with us. But when I was preparing this message, I was preparing it for not next Lord's Day, but the Lord's Day after that, where there was going to be a space between the other visitor coming out from Northern Ireland to this. But unknown to me, that this sermon which I have prepared this morning is also about the Holy Spirit. So there you are. The Lord works in mysterious ways indeed. Anyway, as we come to look at this, our meditations today are from chapter 1 and verse 7, where we read, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind." Perhaps today, with all that's going on around us, all the panic we see here, you may be thinking, how are we to live in this world as Christians? How are we to be as Christians to make sense of all that's going on around us? Well, for a start, Christianity is not that we are just forgiven. It's not that we have just been changed and changed completely. It's not just that we have been reborn and been regenerated. Indeed, we are a new creation. There are things that has happened to us and to those who became Christians. We become new. We have a new outlook in everything. We have new desires. We have a great and new hope before us. New everything, if you like, after Jesus Christ has come into our life. Oh well, you may say, oh well, that's all well and good for you to stand up there and preach that. But we must live in this world where the flesh and the devil and all the powers seem to be set against the Christian. How are we to live? Well, we can say that the Bible does make it perfectly clear. And it has always said, and as it always has been done, that we have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Word of God tells us that the Holy Spirit, what the Holy Spirit does for us, and that the Holy Spirit is in us. And what he is able to do for us. And that, of course, brings us to our text. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but the power of his love and of a sound mind. You see, the Apostle Paul put it like this because it seems that Timothy was suffering from what we call a spirit of fear. Paul was saying to him, you shouldn't be like that. That is not the spirit that you have been given. Do we not also find that very often we suffer from the very same condition? I'm not saying that fear is not real. It is very real. And indeed, in many cases, it leads to failure and it leads to unhappiness. And that it defeats us, but it's in our nature. You see, when we read Genesis 3, we see clearly that the first result of the fall of man was what? Was fear. God had made man in his own image. He had made him perfect. He put him in paradise. There was nothing that man couldn't enjoy more than the company of Almighty God. He was made for to have communion with God. And he enjoyed that communion. And when he heard the voice of God coming into the garden, he would go to meet him. It would be great, and it would be pleasure to do so. But all that changed. Through the act of rebellion and disobedience against God, the moment he sinned, they, Adam and Eve, they were filled with the spirit of fear. And they went and hid themselves. And the next time when they heard the voice of God calling, "Adam, where art thou?" Adam and Eve emerged trembling and frightened and said, "I heard thy voice and I was afraid." You see, there had been no fear in the Garden of Eden until the act of disobedience against Almighty God. Is it not the same today that people still say that they will find a freedom, peace, rest and happiness? The only way to do it is to be rebellious and turn your back on Almighty God. Let us live life as we see it fit to do so. But you know, it doesn't work like that. It works exactly the other way around. It was for this reason that because they had turned away from God, that they get filled by a spirit of fear. You see, there would have been no fear in the human race if it was not for the fall of man and the departure away from Almighty God. That is what Paul is saying here to Timothy. Do you know you're behaving exactly as if you're not a Christian? God has not given you the spirit of fear. He's saying the spirit of fear is of the world. Paul is saying the very same things in Romans. "For you have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." I think we live in time when we see a generation of this world are very fearful indeed. And there's great evidence all around us, all around the world today, that we live in a spirit of fear. Whether it's the coronavirus, whether it's climate change, whether it's nuclear power, people everywhere seem to be fearful. When they think of the great expanse of the universe, and scientists are talking to us about billions of light years, the vastness of space, and we compare that to mankind, and then we become very, very conscious that we are finite or very small. And when they come to think on these people, people get alarmed. People get frightened. Even the psalmist in his day was able to say, "When I consider the heavens and the work of thy finger, the moon and the stars, what is man that thou art mindful of him?" You see, the more mankind advances in knowledge, the more he discovers, the less he knows. And so mankind can be fearful because he feels very small, very insignificant. Those who are not Christians bring them to the conclusion also that life is meaningless. The scientists tell you of all these great mysteries out there in the universe, and it leads them to believe, well, why am I here? Surely life has no understanding, it has no meaning. But you know, the scientists can't prophesy anything. They can't tell any of us with assurance that the world is going to be better or the world is going to get worse. And so they leave many to think that there's no purpose, there's no point to it, and it all leads to a sense of insecurity and the fear of the unknown. That's why there's a great interest in reading our stars, trying to find out. People trying to discover what's going to happen to them. What does the future hold for me? And so on and so on. And so when you put all these things together, it makes one fearful and it makes one frightened. But you know the overall reason for all the fearfulness, it is mankind was made to be dependent on God. He was made by God, for God, to have communion with God, to have fellowship with God. Mankind was made in such a way that he was to be dependent on God. But instead he said, I have no need for God. I can do these things myself. And we know the more the man tries to do things for himself, the more it goes wrong. There's also ways in which people show fear. Excuse me. One of these, of course, is weakness. Not to be able to carry out their duties and their tasks, what they should be doing. That is what Paul was saying here to Timothy. Timothy didn't know what to do because he was in a spirit of fear. He was unable to do anything, and he was asking Paul for help. But fear also shows itself in selfishness. A fearful person is always a selfish person. For that's why they're worried about what might happen to them. And so the selfishness leads to self-perseverance. Look around you. Even today in our own little town in Kingston, look what's happening in the supermarkets. Look at in the stores around about us. These people are only thinking of what? Themselves. Have we got enough to survive? For ourselves to survive? There's no thought of anyone else. Fear has put them all of edge, and so where are they going? They're going about grabbing all they can. Fear shows itself in many ways, of course. It can show itself physical ways, mental ways, moral ways, spiritual ways, and it all leads and causes misery and unhappiness. You see, people try to overcome all these fears. They do it by trying to escape from them, trying to ignore them, trying to say, oh, it's not happening to me. And so they seek all escapism in pleasures of all kind, in entertainments of all kind, in drugs, in drinks, and in drink and in many other ways. Why? Oh, because they're afraid. They're afraid of life. They're afraid of what lies ahead. But I'm not here to condemn anyone who is dependent on drugs or drink or pleasure. No. The point I'm trying to point out today is what causes these things. According to biblical teaching, this is what the spirit of fear leads to. I must point out as well that not all fear is bad. God has created man with an ability to regard certain dangers with what we would call protective fear. This is to preserve man and for his safety. You know, when a barking dog comes running up towards you and you're feeling a bit frightened, which comes into your heart, well, that's natural. That is a natural fear. Also, part of growing up and training our children, they must be taught of the dangers. The dangers of playing maybe in a busy street. We must give them cautions about cars and about trucks. And then they will have what we would call a healthy fear, and it will keep them from harm. There are many people I know who suffer from many phobias. The fear of spiders, the fear of heights, and the list goes on and on. But such fears, of course, can be won over. They can be overcome. But we must recognize above all that fear does not come from God. Paul says he has not given us, any of us, those things. He has given us what? The Holy Spirit. He is not a spirit of fear, but it tells us there in our text, but a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of sound mind. He tells Timothy and us here today, stir up that gift of God, he says in verse 6, which is in you by the putting on of my hands. You see, Christianity is not only about forgiveness, not only about rebirth, but Scripture tells us that God put the Holy Spirit in us, and that the Holy Spirit lives in us. It tells us also that if a man has not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. If you do not have the Holy Spirit within you, you are not of Christ. You see, Christians are not left to themselves. Through the gospel, we are brought back into our right relationship which we once had with Almighty God. Timothy must be letting these things get to him. And so this is why Paul is reminding Timothy. They had a great gift of the Spirit of God within him, and to stir up that gift, to enable him to press on in strength and in power. In power of the Spirit. And he's saying to him, if you do this, then you'll be able to overcome that spirit of fear which is in you. What is this power that Paul is talking about? Well, it's the power of God Himself working in us and enabling us. We're not left alone to do battle in this world. Against the flesh and the devil. If we were left to do that by ourselves, we would not be able to fight against it. But you see, God's Spirit comes within us, and He is the Spirit of power. He keeps us. He enables us. He works in us. He transforms us and everything that is round about us. You see, this is the Christian's great hope, that there is help available to him. Here's how the apostle has worked all these things out, and we read in Romans 8, verse 31. What shall we then say of these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He is for us, if only we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. It is then, and then only, that He will put the power of the Spirit within us. The Christian has offered the Spirit of power. The Lord Jesus said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He has kept His word, even right down to the very day. He hasn't left us, nor has He forsaken us. Surely this is the answer to us, and the things that will waylay the Spirit of fear. I have said that fear makes us selfish, but it also makes us very irritable. It also makes us very difficult, and it can lead to people being very hard to live with. You see, a frightened person should be an object of compassion, because they feel that everything in the world, the life, the universe, they think it's all against them, and they are unhappy, and so they in turn make those around them unhappy as well. But we also are told in our text, not only are Christians given the spirit of power, but it's also given the spirit of love. You remember how when we were going through the Sermon on the Mount, how our Lord and Saviour put it in Matthew 5 and 43, you have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbour and hate thy enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemy, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them that despise you, and use you, and persecute you, that ye may be children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on good. He sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them that love you, what reward have you? Do not the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the publicans do so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven, perfect. What Jesus says here has just described the spirit of love. The spirit of love enables Christians to love their enemies. It creates in them a great sorrow, even for those that persecute them. Jesus demonstrated that even as he hung there on the cross, dying for sinners. He was able to call out, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He did not show any hatred towards the people who were responsible for putting him on the cross. He was the Son of the living God, and that enabled his forgiveness towards those people. That is what the Spirit of God can do for all of God's people. Remember Stephen? Stephen is another great example of that. Acts 7 and 55. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfast into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus Christ standing on the right hand. There was Stephen, being stoned by his enemies. And what he did do? And what did he do? Because he was filled with the Holy Spirit, he was able to cry out in love to them, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Here was Stephen, nearly at death's door. He showed no fear. Instead, he offered up a great prayer, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And we are told in Scripture that Stephen died in peace. You see, he had the spirit of love, and he had the spirit of power. But that's not all that the Spirit does. It tells us also that the Christian is also given a sound mind. When the Holy Spirit is in us and ruling over us, it doesn't matter what happens to us, we're never to lose control. We should not react violently, and we should not lose our heads and panic. No, the Spirit of God gives us self-control. He opens Christian eyes to what's going on around them. They don't run around what's happening. They don't run around blaming God. If God is a God of love, why would he let this happen? And they don't go about fanatically to try and put things right, only to find out that they're making the situation worse. Oh, a Christian that has the Spirit of God operating in them, has not only made them to have power of God and the love of God, they have a sound mind and enables them to see what's going all around them. They're able to look at events that's going on as they really are. Like Paul in our text, here's what he's really saying to Timothy. Did you really imagine that the world would delight in my preaching? Are you really surprised that I am in prison for the gospel? And that I might be even put to death? He's saying, where's your understanding of these things that's happening all around you? No, he says, stir up the spirit that is in you. See things from a Christian perspective. Let the mind of Christ be in you. You see, we have to know that people who are without God, people who are in a sinful state, are always going to act this way. The gospel, it says, is foolishness to them. They do not realize that God is for them. They do not realize that the Son of God died for them. No, they think that God is against them. And so they act irrationally and they are fearful. Timothy, let the Holy Spirit lead you and guide you. And He will lead you in understanding of all things. The Holy Spirit of God not only enables the Christian to understand the events that's going on around them, He also enables them to offer many thanks to Almighty God. That He can see beyond the events and the things that's happening around them, the circumstances. But He sees also the coming again of the beloved Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was able to write these words to this effect in the chapter that we're looking at, 2 Timothy verse 1, For I know whom I have believed, am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him unto that day. You see, the person that has a glimpse of that great day that lies before us, that they should not have the spirit of fear within them. Passing, even as they look upon this passing evil world. What I ask is, what spirit is dominating your life at this very moment? Is it the spirit of fear of all that's going on around you? Are you worried about the uncertainty of life? Or about what's going on? Perhaps you're worried about what lies ahead of you, the unknown. Are you afraid that I'm afraid if that's the spirit that's in you, you're doing yourself a great dishonor when there is help available, wonderful help, precious help, God's help. Psalm 41 and verse 1 and 2, what we read at the beginning of our service here today, it tells us clearly, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble. Therefore will I not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. You see, if that's the condition that you're in today, that you are without God, that you are without faith in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and without the Holy Spirit of God, then sadly I would have to say you are without help. Unless you change your way, unless you turn away unless you stand outside of the help of God, which is offered to you. I would implore you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, on the Son of God, Him that suffered and died for you, that for your sins, to reconcile yourself again to God, and to be made a child of God. Commit yourself to Him, and He will put in you the Spirit of power, the Spirit of love, the Spirit of a sound mind, and He will deliver you from the spirit of fear. Our beloved Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, knows exactly how you feel. He suffered all. He went through it all. And He overcame it all. And He opened a way for you and for me to enter into that great glory of eternity. May the Lord speak to us today and help us to overcome the fear that we may have. Amen.